In the name of the risen Lord, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. I recently heard a story that's kind of stuck with me. I probably remember it because it was told by a fellow priest about a children's chapel she was leading, and I could relate. She said that the little ones waddled in following their adult Sunday school teacher, like little ducklings behind their mother duck. And they started to sit down in a little semicircle around her in front of the altar. Then she said she noticed at the end of the line, there was a little boy she didn't recognize, wearing a name tag that said Ryan. And she could tell that he was new to church because he was looking around at everything, scanning the room, taking in all the new sights, and looking a little apprehensive. He sat with the others and tried to follow along. Chapel went on as normal. They had their children's songs, like Jesus Loves Me, folded their little hands for prayers, and then had a gospel story from a children's Bible. And after the story, it's their tradition to have a short, quiet time for the kids to think about what they had just heard. During the silence, the new little boy, Ryan, looked up at her with deep, almost sad eyes, she thought, for such a youngster, and discreetly tried to motion her over to him. She knelt down beside him and quietly asked him what he needed. He looked around the room one last time and then quietly whispered, "Excuse me, is God coming today?" She called it the most beautiful, honest, important question she had ever heard. She asked the boy if she could share his question with the whole group because everyone needed to hear it. He said it was okay, so she did. "Is God coming today?" she repeated. Then she proceeded to tell the group that God was here, that God had already come, and that sometimes we can feel God in the still places of our hearts when we pray, and the joy we feel when we sing beautiful hymns, or even in the love when our friends surround us or our mom and dad hug us close and we know that we are deeply loved. It was a good children's chapel answer. I would have secretly been proud of myself for that answer. Maybe not so secretly. But she noticed that when she spoke these words, Ryan just looked down. So she asked him what he was thinking. And he told her that his dad wasn't there anymore. That some well-meaning person, I'm sure, had told him that his dad had gone to be with God. So he had showed up at church that morning looking for God, hoping that God would come so that he could ask him how his dad was, if he was okay. But more than anything, I think the little boy was just looking for a reason to believe, a source of hope, a God who would come in person and could fill the empty spot in his life that he knew was very real. He needed a God who was as real and present to him as the dad he had lost. So the priest knelt down and asked him if she could hug him. And he smiled and nodded his head, and she wrapped him up in her arms and told him that God had already come and that this moment of connection is what it feels like when we know that God is here. That's what Ryan's question was all about. And I think it is the most beautiful, honest, important question that we could ask. I think it is the question. Is God coming? Will God show up? Because I need that. And you need that. I think it's our question, and it took a little boy to have the honesty and audacity to ask it. I think we all have a little 5-year-old in us that looks around at situations in our lives and wonders if God is ever coming, if God will fix them, if God will show up and be with us in these times. I think that's why we show up most Sundays, hoping that God will come too and we can experience that moment. But most of all, I'm sure that's why we get up on Easter morning and come to church, desperately looking for God to show up and meet us here. People instinctually get the meaning of Good Friday. We all have had times in our lives where something important to us has been lost. A person died, a relationship ended, a dream has been crushed, or hope seemingly dried up, and we couldn't see a way forward, and we sat in the dark hoping for a new dawn. Good Friday is easy to understand and an inescapable reality in our lives. But what we long for is the Easter moment. Is God coming? Will God show up in those dark moments to fill them with light? Is there hope for new life? Something actually rising from the dead, rebuilt from the ashes? We need our God to step out of the grave and show us that it cannot hold him, that it has no more power, and that God has chosen forever to be with us. I think if we look into the gospel passage today, we will find that the disciples are no different from us. Can you imagine the disappointment they felt after the crucifixion? They were destroyed. Their promised Savior had died, and they were wondering if God would show up for 2 whole, very dark, and fearful days and nights. But on that 3rd morning, they got news that the tomb was empty. The 2 disciples, Peter and John, ran ahead to the tomb because they wanted to believe that God would be there, doing something miraculous, raising Jesus from the dead. These disciples stared into that empty tomb and they didn't know what to think, but their hearts brimmed with that important question: is God coming? They were looking for an answer, but what they got was more of a question. They found an empty tomb and it asked them, what will you believe? Are you willing to have faith that God is doing a new thing? That an empty tomb is a sign of hopefulness? That you can believe that God is here, living and active and setting the world aright? Mary also was there. She was scared. That's understandable. After disappointment and loss, any change can seem foreboding. We've all been there. We want to hope, but we are afraid. The Easter story is telling us that it's worth hoping. Mary turns around and sees a simple gardener. She asks him where the Lord is, and then she finds out that God is already in her presence. Or maybe better put, that she was already in the presence of God and just didn't realize it. He's there before her in the flesh, proclaiming life after death by just showing up. Sometimes God comes in unexpected forms, standing right in front of you, offering the solution to your concern, but waiting for you to open your eyes and really see it for the miracle that it is. To understand that the tomb doesn't have power over you either, because you are in the presence of a living God. In these characters, we get two examples of ways of looking for God among us. Neither one right or one wrong, but both leading to the belief that God is present, doing a miraculous thing in our midst. Some followers rush headlong into the dark place, trusting that the message of Jesus was true, that there really will be abundant life. Others look around tentatively, quietly, desperately hoping for some sign, and discovering that God was with them the whole time. It doesn't matter how you approach it, because either way is the same. God is present and proclaiming resurrection after every death, redemption after every loss. God is not only coming, God is here. That's the message of Easter morning. Jesus lives and God is present and Christ is on the move. Freed from the grave, Jesus is doing the same for others. He's opening the tombs in our lives and speaking new life into them, rolling back stones and letting the light in. He wants to break the shackles of the things in our lives that are enslaving us, to bring Easter joy to the parts of our lives where we have let fear of disappointment numb our hearts, to show how new life can spring from the very places where things have died. Easter morning is the reality that is just waiting for us to recognize it. The priest's answer to the little boy was right. God makes his presence known in a lot of different ways. Sometimes it's the feeling of peace you get in the still, quiet place during prayer. Sometimes it's the overflowing joy that erupts in songs of praise. And sometimes it's the solid, tangible embrace of love when what you really need is to feel present and connected. But they are all ways of saying that He has come among us, that God is alive and giving life to our spirits, filling the empty places, restoring what was lost, and breathing new life where it seemed hope was long past gone. I'm not sure where you are this morning. Whether, like the disciples, you are in a place where you can rush headlong into the tombs of your life and look for the Savior there, redeeming that which you thought was dead and gone. Or if, like Mary, you are a bit more tentative, even a bit fearful, looking for any reason to hope and finding in the end that God was with you all the time, realizing you were always in the presence of resurrection life. It doesn't matter, because just like Ryan, you have come to the right place. Because in this place, before this altar of sacrifice that Christ has made a feeding table, and on this day above all others, we know that God is alive among us. We can feel and taste and know that we are in the presence of resurrected life, and that means it is true, and all possibilities, all futures, all life is open to us again. So trust that we can look into our own dark places and find that God is already there, turning them into places of new life. Go out and live the Easter truth. Tell others because they are looking for the same thing, hoping against hope that it may yet be true for them also. Go and experience the joy of Easter morning. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.